Welcome back to another episode of the Post-Sermon Reflections podcast, where we want to help you apply Sunday morning learning into Monday morning living as we connect others to the love of Jesus and help them live on gospel mission. My name is Ruth, and I am joined by a dear friend of mine, Jason. He has been on the podcast once before. It's your second time back.
Second time.
Oh, the best.
Thank you.
So excited. And we are going to talk about another sermon from the body series, where we're talking about all the different parts of the body and how God is working through the local church. And so we were in Ephesians 4 today, 1 through 16. Jason, you want to hit us with that text recap?
Absolutely. And first, Ruth, I want to mention, I'm so enjoying the body sermon series. Mm-hmm. And as pastor, I talked about the body universal and the body local. My wife and I were out of town, and so we listened to one of the sermons because we missed it because we wanted to, because we're just finding this sermon series so uplifting and valuable.
So good.
So I just encourage people, if you've missed a week,
go back and listen.
Get on the app and listen to it. You know, listen to your car. It's terrific.
That's awesome.
So the sermon series, or the scripture that pastor walked through today, was in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16.
Yeah.
And in Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Mm. And in chapter 4, he's specifically talking about the unity of the body of Christ and the unity of the Spirit, how it's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, and how God has gifted some pastors, some teachers, so they would build up the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And they are to build up the believers, and the believers in turn are to build up the church.
Yeah.
So we're each need each other, and we're each gifting each other.
It's this like symbiotic relationship that you talked about.
I couldn't say the word, but thank you. Yes.
No problem. I gotcha.
Exactly right. And I really enjoyed how pastor, I'm a sports guy.
Yeah, so big sports guy.
When he used the NFL and used the players and the coaches, how the players have their gifts and abilities, but you need that coach to show how to use your gifts and abilities for the benefit of the team.
Yeah.
And how those two groups need each other. And to me, that was just a great analogy to what Paul is saying, that the church needs the believers and the believers need the church, and we both should be contributing.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's this reality to say, hey, what does it mean that I could be gifted and those gifts could be recognized in the marketplace? Those gifts could be recognized in my home. But there is something that God wants to do specifically with the gifts when it comes to the local church. There are things that he has in a ways that we're supposed to uniquely serve the body of Christ. And you have probably met people, I've met people who are incredibly gifted, but are unable to submit to the needs of the church, or are unable to submit to the teaching of the church. And that can be a really sticky situation, because you sometimes have someone incredibly gifted, but Pastor Brennan talked about this, which was like, this was super impactful to me. If it's not infused with the gospel and the way in which God wants to work through the church, it's going to actually be painful to the church, and it's going to be harmful. And I think we don't often think about that, to say, hey, what's the flip side of someone not walking in unity, not walking in the oneness of faith, but who is gifted? What is that? What does that do to us? And so that was like, that was something that we'll probably get back into at a later part. But I'd love to hear what really stuck out to you when it came to this sermon.
One of the things I thought back to, and this is going back 7 or 8 years, I was sitting listening to the sermon, and I was reminded, you know, I grew up in the church, I drifted away, and then I came back. And I can remember sitting one day, and I felt like I was a taker. Mm-hmm. I came to the church, I sat there in the sermon, and I took what the pastor taught, and then I left. I didn't give anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded back the first time that it was a Saturday, it was a work day, it was going to be cleaning floors and stuff. And I said, okay, I'm not going to be purely a taker. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give.
Yeah.
And I came and I cleaned floors for 8 hours.
Oh.
I don't like cleaning whatsoever. But it was incredibly rewarding at the end of the day, because I felt like I was
part of something,
contributing and giving something back, you know? And so as Brennan was preaching through this, I'm reminded of how it made me feel to give back, not just to be taking. So that was one of the things I was remembering back to, you know, the first time I volunteered.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were not gifted in cleaning.
I'm still not.
Yes. But I think like it's important to recognize, like, you served and you may have served in a way that was outside of your gifting, because we're talking about gifts in this, but there are opportunities to serve that sometimes are outside of our gifting. But there are areas that you've gotten to serve in your gifting and you've seen how it's just exploded you. Right. And I think that's cool. For, we talked about, like, with your journey serving in financial peace with your wife, what was it like the first time you started, you stepped out?
Oh, sure. So So my wife and I had attended a 9-week financial peace class that mm-hmm. that was led by Dave Ramsey. And we took a chance and we thought, hey, this is so awesome. Like, we wanted to share with others and we weren't sure what that looked like. Mm. We weren't sure. So we threw a dart. We chatted with Pastor Pina at the time and said, hey, can we lead this class? And we didn't know what we were doing. We yeah. stumbled and bumbled over ourselves. Yeah. We made countless mistakes. But through trying, so not knowing, but yeah. jump, but putting ourselves out there, it then opened doors to say, wow, hey, we could do this. We could be better and we could help people.
Yeah.
And so just by trying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really beautiful to like recognize like, hey, it wasn't perfect in the end. I didn't come in knowing, man, I'm going to really be great at group facilitation, or I'm going to be like really great at helping people budget, or I'm going to be really great at just like helping people see the bigger picture of their why. And though all of those things are necessary in what you guys do, they're mandatory almost in being good at it, but you didn't know that. You probably have had your professional careers and you say, oh yeah, we have some like inklings of things we're drawn towards or things we're not drawn towards. But when you stepped out, you like experienced Christ meet you and say, no, I've like equipped you. Like I've equipped you guys to serve me this way, to build my kingdom this way. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Right. And there's a completely different level of joy to me when you're, you know, I volunteered for my son's sports and coaching, and there's a completely different level of joy when you're volunteering in the church body and you're
Tell me about that. Like what feels different? So you're coaching and you are using some of the same gifts in coaching sports, right? Like you're using team collaboration, you're using some critical thinking to say, hey, this guy needs to go here, this guy needs to do this, and that's how he's going to get better. So let's say not the same paradigm, but a similar paradigm. And then what happens when you do it for God's kingdom in his local body?
Yeah. So when I'm helping, say a local sports team, yes, I'm trying to build up those middle schoolers or those high school students and to use their gifts and abilities, but it's using them for the benefit of the team, but it's not for an internal purpose. Mm. When I'm volunteering at the church and helping people and see, hey, how can you use your money for God's glory?
Yeah.
Or, hey, we want this, use cleaning, right? Hey, we want the church to look nice. Someone come and walks in.
Yeah.
Like they feel warm and welcome.
Yeah.
And all the different volunteers. So you're building people up and you're helping people for an internal purpose.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's much bigger
yeah.
than kicking a soccer ball or catching
yeah.
a football.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we're going to spend eternity. And
yeah.
that's what really matters. And
yeah.
so to me, there's a much deeper feeling of gratitude.
Yeah.
Or if like you're helping or you're doing what God intended.
Yeah.
To That's help so other good. People for his glory.
That's so good. And if someone's hearing this and they're like, I'm like really gifted in coaching soccer. Well, like what we want you to hear is it's not the thing that you're doing. It's the gospel being infused in the thing God's called you to do. That's actually the responsibility of the pastors and the elders right. of our church and the leaders of our church. What they're doing is they're saying, hey, what has God called you to? And how can the gospel stay central in everything? So if you're saying, hey, I love coaching pickleball. Awesome. What does it look like for you to be sent on mission, commissioned by God's people to say, when you do that in his name, for his glory, inviting people to know Christ? Because you guys could go budget anywhere. You guys go teach budgeting in any secular environment and it would be an asset and a skill. But for you guys, you said, no, we want that to be infused with the hope of Christ. That when someone says, God's entrusted part of his kingdom to you for you to steward. Why? Because he wants gospel multiplication. He wants generations, family trees to change because he wants people to say, hey, I want to see what's God's and how God handles God's things. And I want to handle on his terms instead of my terms. And that's like this beautiful invitation people have to say, whatever skill you have, you're an administrator. You can say, hey, how does making sure I have an excellent Excel spreadsheet, how does that help? Well, I can give you 13 examples of people who use Excel spreadsheets at our church who are multiplying God's work, who are safely caring for the work of the church so that we will not run into legal problems, won't have issues getting audited, tracking people who are going through child safety training. All of those things are part of God's work. They're all part of this expansion of, hey, the good news coming out. I think like for us, it's catching a bigger vision of what is called ministry. Because sometimes we can say, oh, ministry is like only doing direct street evangelism.
Right.
Or ministry is only the pastor. Or ministry is only the prayer team. Those things are all ministry. But ministry is so much more. Ministry is sitting down with a husband and wife, walking line by line through their budget, helping them see what God cares about. Helping them for the first time say, if we're not on the same page, this isn't God's heart, right? Because what are, like, what's your favorite part about leading financial peace or getting to work with people?
To me, it's when the light bulb turns on.
Yeah.
That there's a bigger goal, and how can I use, when it's not always the dollars and cents, but everything I have is from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can I use the finances that He's entrusted to me for His glory?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all about me.
Yeah.
And you know, and my toys.
Yeah.
You know, it's how can I give back, and how can I get myself out of debt so that I can use what He's given to me for His glory.
Yeah.
You know, and not paying, you know, Uncle Visa.
Yes. Not paying Uncle Visa.
That's right. You know, and Ruth, I'm reminded of when, so Ruth and I were blessed to go to Ecuador last year on a mission trip. And Ruth has this wonderful gift with children.
Mm.
And watching you in a foreign country with kids who don't know what you're saying, right? And you leading them on games and to help share the gospel with them, just watching you use your gift and ability. And we don't want people sitting, listening to this or hearing the sermon thinking, oh gosh, I can't go minister to kids. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. But God has given each one of us our own unique gift.
Yes.
And my gifts are different than your gifts because God intended it that way.
Yeah.
And I love when Pastor Brennan said, like, we shouldn't look and say, oh, I wish I had that gift.
Mm-hmm.
No, God gave you your gifts for a reason.
Yeah.
And you can use those for His glory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it was great, your example with the spreadsheet, right? Because there's people who are awesome at spreadsheets, and that can be so helpful to the church body.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's a recognition. Some of you are sitting here saying, I don't know my gifts because I feel like the church is just full of extroverted people who are good with people. Like, that's what I feel. You're like, I am not naturally an extroverted person. Like, please hear that, like, the church is not just full of extroverted people. They just are probably the loudest. But God is using all parts of His body who function in all different ways, who have all different social batteries, all these things. But the only way we find our gifts is by volunteering ourselves to say, hey, I want to be used by God. We first open our hearts to Him and say, God, I want you to use me. And then you take a step to say, hey, what are areas you guys need help in? And can I try serving in some of those areas? It doesn't need to be this huge quest to find yourself, because it tends to not be. How did I learn? How did I start serving with kids? People needed people to serve with kids. How did I start learning to serve in outreach? My heart was stirred. Like, one day it was like, hey, like, they need to know who Christ is. And I tried to follow that stirring. And so if you feel really passionate about something, that might be an example of something that God's calling you to move towards. And He may be equipping you as you're doing that. And if there's things you're like, man, I've always done this professionally, I would love to do this for God's kingdom, that's another invitation. Like, if there's something you're like, man, I've always been good at this, and I don't know how this could relate to God's heart, ask Ben, sign up to talk, have a conversation with Ben about maybe how we could use that for God's kingdom here. Cause he may be starting a new ministry through you, and you don't know that because you've never tried to apply your gifts and your skills to God's kingdom. Cause you said, well, this is what I do for work. Well, oftentimes what people do for work, they're very helpful for. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, Valerie Gargis is an example. She administrated the crap out of these theater things. And she was literally herding squirrels. And she was able to,
that's a good gift set. Herding squirrels
is a very good gift set. And she was doing that. And she said, oh man, I love making the back end systems of helping organizations run. And so she came in, she made our back end systems for all of Crosspoint Kids. And Crosspoint Kids, I have the gift of serving alongside of her. It is a joy because I know it's handled. Does that make sense? I get to come in saying, hey, we work together, we solve some problems together, but I know, you know what that is? That's handled. So I can look into that spreadsheet. I know where people are. She's tracking where everybody's at in their child safety process, or she's tracking, okay, this is volunteers. Oh, we don't have these spots filled. She's just beasting it out. And the good news is that, like, she takes joy in that. She's like, oh, it's just a few minutes for me. I'm just titter tat. I'm like, you fries my circuits. Every circuit's fried. Look at my board, fried. And so I have the joy. And she would say, oh man, I never want to train a volunteer. That's like not enjoyable to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to help someone figure out their place somewhere. I'd love to have that conversation where I'm onboarding them in. And so the two of us work in tandem. I kick stuff to the back end and she's like, oh, I'd love to do that. And I'm like, I don't want to touch that. And so there's just a joy of partnership to say, hey, if we were made the same, we would not multiply. But because we're not made the same, we multiply the impact, which is like such a joy, which I think is really awesome. What would you say encouraged or challenged you in this sermon?
I would say one thing that challenged me was to, how is how has God gifted me, or how gifted individuals, and how are you willing to use that gift for His glory, mm-hmm. not to sit on the sideline, you know, not to be just a receiver, but also to give back. And I like when he was talking about, hey, if you weren't sure what your gift is, as we just mm-hmm. spoke about, not to let that hold you back.
Yeah.
And as you were speaking, Ruth, I was thinking of, hey, so you talked about, hey, there was an opportunity for mm-hmm. kids, right? So you jumped in because there was a need for kids. So let's say there was a need for, let's say the coffee mm-hmm. Ministry. You jump into that need, even if it's not your skill set. Now you're with other believers mm-hmm. and you're talking, having conversations. Yeah. And so in those conversations, you can learn, hey, I didn't even know this other ministry existed, mm-hmm. but you're talking to people within the church. Yeah. And so that's the avenue that you learn.
Yeah.
You know, like you and Ben know so many things of the pulse, right? Of things yeah. that are going on. And it's great. Spending more time with the two of you, you learn more and you see more opportunities yeah. for, hey, there's a need here.
Yeah.
And we want to reach more people for Christ. Mm-hmm. And you have a great skill set. Let's plug you yeah. in if you're willing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And certainly I don't want people to listening to the podcast thinking at the church is saying, hey, you should spend 80 hours a week at the church.
Yeah.
That's not what
I don't spend 80 hours a week at the church, and I work here.
And you
just so everyone knows, I personally, if you're expecting me to, you would be mistaken. I do not do that. Nor does Ben, nor does Brennan. Correct. Just so everyone knows.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a balance.
Yeah.
But everyone should be contributing something, should be using yeah. their gifts for God's glory. And yeah. how can you use those to build up
yeah.
the body of Christ?
Yeah.
Let the pastors and teachers pour into you.
Yeah.
And then you use your gifts to lift yeah. up the body of Christ.
Yeah. And I think you could be hearing this and you'd be like, oh my gosh, they're just trying to get all these people to do stuff. Well, the reality is that you are not spiritually growing if you are not spiritually moving. And I think that's the reality to say, hey, if you want to grow, the only way you grow is by entrusting your life to God's. And what I can promise you is that when Jesus says that he's the head of the church, that he cares about the church. And we're not saying like he cares about the church of all time. He cares about the local church, but he has never stopped working through believers, gathering together, seeking his heart through unity. What is it? One body, one spirit, one father, one God. The uniqueness of us and the uniqueness of the way that we're made never trumps the oneness of what we're gathering for. What we're gathering for is connection to the Father through the Son, empowered by the Spirit. And that's a joy. Like, what I would say is for someone who says, like, I don't have the time, I'd say, okay, that's awesome. What is your time being spent on? Because I promise you that's your God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there were like the push to say, oh man, like they just want to take from me to say, hey, actually, we don't care at all about the time you give. We care deeply about the condition of your heart, that you can't be in unity if you're not with. And that's the pain. You can be a bystander watching other people do church. You are just not a part if your hand's not in the plow. And that's painful. Some people hear that and they're like, oh, that's tough. And I would say, man, you're not walking in freedom of the joy of saying, my life, you know whose my life is? My life's his. It's not mine. And you're not giving your life to Pastor Brennan, and you're not giving your life to Crosspoint. Don't hear that. This Absolutely. Is just the avenue in which you walk in obedience to give your life to a people. If God's calling you to another church, by all means, go to that church and give. It's not Crosspoint specific, but it's Christ community specific. If God's called you to this Christ community, put your hand in. Because when your hand's in, you know what you're busy not doing? Complaining that other people aren't doing things. You're busy. What you're doing is you're saying, oh, I'm with it. That problem's our problem. That challenge is our challenge. It's not their challenge. Because I think that's like, we can often, when we're watching, you know how you're watching a sport and you're like, oh my gosh, you just made that mistake. Even when you're playing that sport, it's a very different experience when a mistake gets made. You're like, shoot, gotta go run back. We just lost the ball. When you're watching, you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you didn't catch that pass. And then when you're in the game, you're like, I cannot believe I did not catch that pass. The conversation changes when you're Absolutely. In the game versus being a bystander of the game. And I think that's kind of what this conversation is about, to say, hey, there's a spot for you in the team. There's a position for you on the team that you're meant to play. And you're going to grow in that. You're not going to start off being an all-star, and that's okay. And I think that's pretty big.
So. Absolutely. I like how you said, if you're sitting, you're not moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, and as in the sermon, Brennan was talking about how your gifts without the gospel, right, is a recipe disaster, which you also had mentioned earlier, because with the gospel, we have a humble spirit.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not all about me, And with the gospel, by submitting to the gospel means we need to be immersed in scripture.
Yeah.
We need to be immersed in the local church attending.
Mm.
I have a nephew. He's in his 30s, and I'm sending him some of these sermons because he doesn't go to a local church, but he tells me, oh, I listen to podcasts. I'm good. And you know, my words are falling on deaf ears as I'm trying to encourage, no, you need to be part of a community. And so I love this sermon series because I'm like, I'm sending this one to my nephew, and I'm sending this one because the important thing is you need to be part and to feel part of a body, you know, and like being plugged into home groups, you know, and doing life with people. And you volunteer together, you talk about your life and what's going on. And now you're talking about someone who's viewing things from a Christian perspective.
And so there's
this warmth wrapping your arms around other people as you volunteer together.
And I would push back to him and say, hey, how fit do you get listening to podcasts about working out?
That's a good point. Yes.
Like, that's just the reality. You don't get fit at all. You may learn something. Like, I love podcasts. Man, I love books. There is nothing like being arm in arm with someone who's suffering and bearing their burden alongside of them. There's nothing like helping bring a scared child into the nursery, helping them feel comfortable so that their parent can go enjoy that service and then feel cared for. Why? Because I said, your family's my family. And I'm going to treat them as my nieces and nephews when I'm in there. They're going to be treated with such dignity and honor as I would treat my own family. You can't do that from listening to books. I've read tons of books on children's ministry. It's nothing like being in the room, trying to give a lesson. I've prepared lessons. It's nothing like giving it. And you're like, that did not work. That made absolutely no sense to them. And so what I'd say is that a lot of us are just listening to podcasts on working out when Jesus is asking us to start bench pressing.
And so
I think there's a reality to say, hey, you're not going to get spiritually strong if you're not doing the spiritual exercises. And it's obviously more than a spiritual exercise. Just take the analogy for what it is. Don't crucify me on that one.
That'll preach. Preach.
But I think that's important to recognize, hey, we're supposed to be a part of something real. And we're supposed to be doing something real. If we're going to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we can't do that just our mind. Our intellect being transformed. And so, I didn't realize I felt so strongly that I want people to get up and get moving. Because I just think there's a beauty. There's a beauty to saying, my life's not my own anymore. And that only happens, I think, in sacrificially giving of our time. And I would say our treasure, and I would say our talents.
Because it helps turn our heart from to outward facing as opposed to inward. It's not all about me.
Yeah.
When you're giving your time, it changes your heart posture.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Would you close us in prayer as we land this plane?
Sure. Absolutely. And thank you, Ruth, for having me having me on today and all the hard work that you do in this ministry. So, Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to come into your presence. We are thankful for Pastor Brennan and the sermon series that you put onto his heart, Lord. And we hope people are listening, hear the message about one body, one spirit, one Lord, to be part of a local church, to immerse in a local church, and to use your God-given gifts for his glory and for the furtherance of his kingdom. And Lord, empower people not to be shy, embolden them to step out in faith, to try something, to learn and go closer to you, and to help unify the body and unify others. As people volunteer, they will bless others and they will be blessed themselves, Lord. So just use the Holy Spirit to open people's hearts and their minds to your will and their lives, and help them not to be on the bench, Lord, but to jump in the game. And we just give you your son, all the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And friends, if this is a blessing to you, we ask that if you're not subscribed, that you would subscribe. It gives a notification to your phone every time a new episode drops, and we want to stay connected to you. And if this is a blessing to you, or you have a nephew like Jason does, and you want to encourage him or her that, hey, God has something for you in serving and pouring your life out, don't be afraid to share. We'd love to be a blessing to your community. Pray that you guys have an awesome Monday and you live for him in his glory. Amen.